إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن خير الكلام كلام الله، وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، I must apologize coming late today. It is from the things that we always say, Qadarullah. Ida we say, Qadarallahu wa ma sha'a fa'ala. Or we say, Qadarullahi wa ma sha'a fa'ala. The two of them have riwayat. Ida, Qadarallahu, make Allah the Qail. Or Qadarullahi, to make idafa or Qadar to Allah. They are both reported. That is just what Allah has preordained, subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah to overlook our shortcomings. Today, we will be presenting our new book to read. This is the book, Shelf of Sunnah, by Al-Imam Al-Muzani. Shelf of Sunnah by Al-Imam Al-Muzani. Shelf of Sunnah is an expression from two words. The first of them being shelf, and the second being sunnah. And it can be understood to mean two different things. Shelf of sunnah could mean this book is a shelf of a book called as-sunnah. Because we have ulama who wrote on sunnah. They wrote books and they titled it as-sunnah. One of them is Abdullah ibn Ahmad bin Hanbal, the son of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. He has a book, as-sunnah. Another one is Al-Imam ibn Abi Asim. He has a book, he titled as-sunnah. So we may understand Shaykh as-sunnah to mean the commentary of the book, as-sunnah. As we have Shaykh al-Bukhari, for example. Our Sharh Sahih al-Bukhari, which is a commentary of Sahih al-Bukhari, for example. So Sharh al-Sunnah can mean that. But Sharh al-Sunnah, again, can also mean Bayan al-Sunnah. Sharh can also mean Bayan, explaining what the Sunnah is. So while the first one would be commentary of the book, of sunnah, the second one will mean explaining sunnah, making sunnah to be known, telling the people what is the sunnah. So this second meaning of Sharh al-Sunnah is what is intended here. So this book, Sharh al-Sunnah, means explaining to us what is sunnah, which in Arabic we can say Bayan al-Sunnah. Al-Bayan fima huwa sunnah. Yani explanation regarding what is sunnah. So this is what Sharh al-Sunnah means. And there are ulama amongst the scholars also, amongst those who came after the Sahaba and the Tabi'un and the Tabi'ut Tabi'in, such as Al-Imam Al-Barbahari. He has his book too, he called Sharh Sunnah. Al-Imam Al-Barbahari is from amongst those who learned from the students of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. He has a book titled Sharh Sunnah. This book is very common. Sharh Sunnah by Imam Al-Barbahari. The scholars have done the sharh of the book. People like Sheikh Salih Fawzan Al-Fawzan. He has a sharh of Sharh Sunnah. Also Sheikh Rabi' Al-Madkhali, he has a sharh of Sharh Sunnah of Al-Imam Al-Barbahari. Also Al-Imam Al-Isma'ili, he also has a book titled Sharh Sunnah, that is explaining the Sunnah. So sharh here would mean what? Bayan. As-Sunnah linguistically is tariqah, path, or sabil, a road. But in this deen, it means tariqatul Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the most general explanation of the meaning of sunnah. If we are asked, tell me in two words, what is the meaning of sunnah? Tariqatul Rasul alayhi salatu wa sallam. The path of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam. Sabilul Rasul, the path of the Messenger Muhammad. It was this path for which Allah raised the Prophet Muhammad. He will be in front and will be coming behind him. This is the meaning of sunnah. The path upon which the Prophet followed. His line of conduct. So the path upon which he followed is his sharia. His sharia. And that's why on the issues of sunnah, books containing issues of what was the path followed by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have some scholars, as they write sunnah, title their book sunnah, to describe that path to us. Some of them title it as what? As sharia, like Al-Imam Abu Bakr al-Ajuri. He has a very voluminous book titled As Sharia. Most of what you will find in Al-Sharia of Al-Imam Al-Ajuri, they are the kind of issues that Al-Imam Al-Muzani also discussed. Even though Al-Imam Al-Ajuri is from those lower in level compared to Al-Imam Al-Muzani, rahimahumullah. Likewise, the ulama referred to As-Sunnah as At-Tawheed by way of summarizing it. Because Allah told us in the Quran that وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنِ اعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ. Allah says بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ, we have raised in every ummah رَسُولًا, a messenger. What will he do? That will tell them أَنِ اعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ. He will tell them serve Allah and avoid worshipping anything apart from Allah. This is the summary of the message of the Prophet. And that is the essence of Tawheed. So that is why the books of Aqidah, the books that describe Sunnah, are also mentioned as the books of what? As Tawheed, Kitabu Tawheed. Like Al-Imam Ibn Khuzaymah, one of the students of Imam Al-Muzani. He has a book, Kitabu Tawheed. We would have seen it in books, Sahih Ibn Khuzaymah. This Imam Ibn Khuzaymah, Muhammad ibn Ishaq ibn Khuzaymah, Imam al-A'imma, they refer to him as Imam al-A'imma because he was a teacher to al-Bukhari, he was a teacher to Muslim, he was a teacher to Abu Dawud, he was a teacher to Ashab al-Sunan al-Arba'a, Ibn Khuzaymah. So they refer to him as what? Imam al-A'imma, the teacher of the teachers, Ibn Khuzaymah rahimahullah. And he was a student of al-Muzani rahimahullah. So he has a book titled Kitab al-Tawheed. So they also refer to issues of Sunnah as what? As Tawheed. Likewise, they refer to books of Sunnah, books that discuss the matters of what did the Prophet come with alayhi salatu wasalam, as books of Iman, Kitab al-Iman, like that of Al-Imam Abu Ubaid al-Qasim ibn Sallam. He has a book, Kitab al-Iman, In it, he is discussing Sunnah of the Messenger, alayhi salam, but under the title Al-Iman. Al-Imam Abu Bakr ibn Abi Shayba, one of the teachers of Al-Imam al-Bukhari, also has Abu Kitab al-Iman. That of Abu Ubaid and Ibn Abi Shayba, Kitab al-Iman, Sheikh al-Bani has tahqiq of them. Kitab al-Iman, Kitab al-Iman. What we are saying is, Al-Sunnah is also referred to what? As Al-Tawheed. It's also referred to as what? Al-Iman. It's also referred to as Al-Aqeedah. The ulama also refer to As-Sunnah as what? Al-Aqeedah. By way of mentioning the most important aspect of it. So when they say Al-Aqeedah, and we have ulama who have written, all these ulama, we are mentioning 300 to 400 years of Islam. So we are not talking about yesterday's scholar, 100, 200 years, no. We are talking about the scholars who were students of Tabi'un, Tabi'un, Tabi'un. The early Muslims, what were they doing? How do they handle these issues? It's what we are talking about. So, As-Sunnah, they also refer to as what? Al-Aqeedah. Belief, creed. When we have ulama who have explained what is Aqeedah to us. Like he has a book titled Sharh, that is Bayanu Usuli I'tiqadi Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, explaining the foundation of the belief of the people of the Sunnah and Jama'ah. Imam Lalika. So this book we are treating is a book that craves to explain to us the way of the Prophet Muhammad. We say As-Sunnah, simply put, it was Tariqatul Rasul alayhi salam. And the Prophet Muhammad, he told us in many hadith, he said, Tarak ala ma'at. We have riwaya separately from Al-Mahajja. Taraktukum ala al. So they make talfiq and say, Taraktukum ala mahajjatin. What I said, alayhi salatu. Everyone who was ever in the company of the Prophet Muhammad,
Allah is the one who 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 is the one Prophet Muhammad, and who is God. Then we must conclude the Baqarah. It was said that when the Muslims came to Medina after the war, a Jew came to them and were telling them that, look here, if you don't become a Jew or a Christian, you are not believers. You are not to be a Christian, that is not the same thing. Allah told us in the Quran in answer to this. This was not the same thing that the Muslims in the house of the Sabbath of Allah. What is that name? They are not in the position. We have the meaning of the prayer of the Jewish. They are not in any way capable of taking away your sins. They don't know that as you move your mind everything, they are not lying. So they set up in command of you. Come and be a Jew. Come and be a Christian. Allah will not be a Jew. It's not a problem.
We don't believe in Isa. No. لا نفرق بين أحد منهم. We do not segregate with respect to belief and following any one of them. And we submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says now. فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدِ اهْتَدَوْا. Allah says, if those people believe as you believe, as who believe, the Prophet Muhammad and his companions. فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ. If people believe the way the Prophet believed, alayhi salatu wasalam. If people believe the way the companions believe. If they believe as you believe as the Prophet and the companions believe, you know. For God is said, we are Huda, guidance is what? Markana. What's the compound? Sunnah. Now we redefine it. We say Tariqatu Rasul ko. Now we say as sunnatu Tariqatu Rasuli wa ashabihi. As sunnah means what? Tariqatu Rasuli wa ashabihi. The path of the Messenger alayhi salatu and his companions. If you ask us, why are you saying companions? We say because the companions were upon what he was upon. Radiallahu anhum, his companions of Sahaba, kanu ala ma kana Nabi sallallahu. They were upon what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
You, my companion, I am speaking to you. Alam
inside. Mahajjatin, he said in Kanahariha, or in the day, it is the same thing. Layluha, when
وحفظ عدد من الخطين. land, must cut away from that land to come to the land. From that land, he has died in prosperity. If God wants to give you another land, bring him to the land. وَأَشَارَ إِلَى الْقَبْرِ أَيُّهَا الْقَبْرُ Then the Messenger of Allah said to the Prophet, 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 this man that is great, is what comes to you. This one that is great, that is not running off. Right or left, this what comes to you. It is great. But that is all right. While I have that country of the Zumba, do not follow this one that comes to you. Huh? If you follow the power of the Zumba, you take me away from it.
فليحذر الذين يخالفون عن امره
let them be approved. And the people are the one and only. Those who oppose, who pray against, who contradict the truth of the Messiah, let them be approved. And the people who think now, so that they are not afflicted by manifestation. How to keep our own around and if it or if there are manifest and delays to attack them, do that to Allah. In fact, those who want to be of one order than the sinner, let them be careful. And to keep our own Allah is king of Allah to be otherwise. You will have needed by that. Allah said, this is what you want of me. And then you have to tell your mom. So being upon the shoulder is Islam. Because Islam is the fact of the Shariah. It's Iman, it's Tawheed, it's Aqidah, it's Ibadah, it's all of the Shariah. So, you don't have to tell. And we are not the fourth prophecy which was innovated in this religion was the practice of rising against leaders. Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu was appointed as the first Khalifa. After 8 years of peaceful leadership, Abdullah ibn Saba was created from Khalifa. In fact, the Jewish man are found on the day of Eid al-Adha. Rabbi Allah, the third Khalifa of the Messenger of Allah. Uthman ibn Affan, the Prophet alayhi salam wa salam, told him that what is that he will enter at the end. He may say that he will enter Uthman, Abu Abdullah Rabbi Allah. The Messenger of Islam was told him, if I'll mercy, for lack of the gentleman. In the other one, he told him, La Yuru, Ibna Uthman, Amara, Al-Badr, no. What about God of God and the after today? What did he do after the dinner? If you not fight what has to drink, today you will be able to make what they said. The only way that was available was told by AG. I know who they are. You will not be using water. Go back to Makkah. Go and get me water to use it from your mouth. So the Muslims approach them and encourage them. Then, we got a nice how they are. They can sell their parents for money. You, the woman. They are all dead. And they placed 30,000 golden coins. Money, dinar. 30,000 golden coins. 20 golden coins is 480,000 naira. Calculate. 20 is the result for Zakat. The result of gold is 480,000. From 20 dinar from the Hadith of Abidjan. And 200 dinar is about 78,000 naira. So you can take dinner, about 480,000 naira. You want 30,000. They place the price for 2 reasons. One, they destroy the footprint so they don't want to buy. So the government said that there is a lot. Anyone who buys this way for us, who buys this way for us, we enter them. The man was not there after the law of money. When the Messenger of Israel from Salaam made the statement, he was not there. The only head that the Prophet said alayhi wa sallam that whoever was to wear was entitled to transgress of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He went and paid for it. He did not come to the Prophet alayhi wa sallam. He went and prayed for the rest. When he prayed for the rest, he now came to him alayhi salatu wa sallam. What did he say exactly to the rest? He said, I said, any person who buys this word for this woman, he will never return. He said, I have prayed for the rest. I told him alayhi salatu wa sallam, La yasurika, ma'akab al-mubad. Whatever you do, after they know how to do it. And that's why Islam is the baby of Allah. He said, the companions, we are full of ayah, ibadah. They have a'amal. So, when they have mistakes, they have to make a full call when you compare it to their a'amal. In our own case, Allah will have it. How much was that? How are you
paying?
700 million. Of Noah, of women. Many times these days, brothers are thinking when they want to give their wives, move. They will put in comparison. You know, we can't know what women we are giving. If you see what we are giving, you will know that they are not giving women anything. Anyway, if man can hold on to the law and work, and I'm not a the first thing that I want to say is that the Prophet did not change how he was seen. It was said that his knees were exposed. And then he said that he was going to change his room. When Omar Rabbi Allah had to tell him, he did not adjust. When the man in the Hassan knocked the door, he said, who was that? He was not the Prophet of Islam was the last answer. When he left,
you know, she will ask Rabbi Allah. Aisha, Siddiqa bint Siddiq. Siddiqa bint Siddiq. She said, my father came in, he did not change your sitting. Omar came in, you did not change your sitting. Why did you change how you sat when Uthman ibn Affan, radiallahu anhu, came in? Why did you change? He said to him, to her, alayhi salam, Ala aftahi mimman taftahi minhu al malaika. Should I not be shy from a person that the malaika are shy of? This was the man that they beheaded. Those who rose up against him beheaded him. And he had warned them that if you kill me, la tusalluna fi masjidin abada. This ummah will never remain one again if you kill me. Before that well that he bought, when he was Khalifa, those people who killed him prevented him from drinking from the water of that well. Maymuna radiallahu anha climbed on her mule, taking some container of water into the house of Uthman. When those people saw her, they slapped the mule. Who were they slapping? The wife of the messenger, Alice. They slapped the mule and poured the water away. She said, I am taking it to Uthman. They broke the pot and they drove her mule. They did not touch her, but they drove the mule. It was for this reason Aisha left Medina. She went to Makkah. Huh? The case is now like this. The first innovation in Islam is the innovation of protest and demonstration. The first innovation in Islam is the innovation of what? protest and demonstration. We know go grief. It led them to kill Uthman ibn Affan. Kharaju alayhi. They went out. They rebelled against him. They came out against Uthman. They killed Uthman ibn Affan. That was the beginning of the trouble. This disunity you are seeing amongst Muslims today, protests and demonstrations brought about them. And that's why the gateway to the heart, to our fifth pillar, the gateway to it, is still being threatened by protests and demonstrations. The gateway to the heart of our fifth pillar is Egypt. Because it is a gateway to the Arabian Peninsula. That gateway is being threatened now by what? Protests and demonstrations. So the fourth innovation is the innovation of rebellion against the leader. So thereafter, in the time of Ali ibn Abi Talib, they finally also, the same group of people, Khawarij, Kharaju ala Ali ibn Abi Talib. They also rebelled against Ali ibn Abi Talib. They killed Ali ibn Abi Talib. So the Khawarij came up. So when you see people going out saying, we know go against established government, know them. It's not allowed in Islam. And the reason is what you have heard. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he warned the people severally against rising against leadership. The books of hadith are now in English. Go to the book of rulership, Kitab al-Imara, Sahih Muslim. You will see over 80 hadith, they are discussing this matter. Don't rise against leadership. And that's why also in the history of mankind, hardly any person rose against leadership except that the people regretted. They are regretting up till now in Libya, in Tunisia, in many parts of the world. In Syria, they are regretting. They would have wished that they did not rise against Assad. May Allah forgive the Muslims. The first innovation, hold it, the first innovation that came in Islam is the innovation of what? Rising against authority, constituted authority, established authority. So when people invite you to do that, don't go. You should know that they are inviting you to contradict the Sunnah. And that was why when Abdullah ibn Abbas, after they decided to fight, the Khawarij came out aside and they camped at Harura. They were already getting set to face Ali ibn Abi Talib. They described Ali ibn Abi Talib as a kafir. And so his blood was legal for them to take. That is always the second thing you will find. They will be declaring people as kuffar. It is when they declare the people as kafir, they will now think that it is appropriate for them to kill them. Do you understand that? So when you see them killing people, it's because they'd already decided that those people are what? Kuffar. So the first thing they say, those people are kuffar, and they begin to kill them. So when they gathered against Ali ibn Abi Talib, Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, volunteered to meet them in their camp in Harura. Ali said, don't go there with you. He said, they can't kill me. They know me and they know the Messenger, alayhi salam. The point of reference is, it's a lengthy issue. When Ibn Abbas got there, one of the things with which he repeated them, he said, for you to know that you are upon error, there is no companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam amongst you. This is where we are coming. Ibn Abbas told them, this is وَلَيْسَ بَيْنَ أَظْهُرِكُمْ أَحَدٌ مِّنْ أَصْحَابِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. There is not amongst you anybody who is a companion. That is the evidence that they are upon what? Error. So Sunnah is what the Prophet was upon and his companion. So the first Sunnah is the Sunnah of Khuruj, the first Bid'ah that came, first innovation, Khawarij. The opposite of that, we said the Khawarij will declare the people as kuffar and they begin to fight them and kill them. And you see, they always precede it with a camp. They always camp somewhere. It is in their camps they will be indoctrinating those that they indoctrinate. When they rise also, they rise from the camps. If we had had, because we are still coming back to this book, we have not discussed Al-Imam Al-Muzani himself. We are still trying to explain Sunnah. So, The second people of innovation that came up at that time were those who were saying that they don't believe in further. At that time, the companions were there. But before that also, there is the bid of Irja. Irja is those who believe that a man just comes out from a beer parlor. As long as he says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, himself and Abu Bakr and Siddiq are the same in their iman. Al-Murji'ah. It was another innovation. The innovation that no matter how pious your good deeds are, no matter how much they are, no matter how sinful the other man is, their iman is the same. It's an innovation. Because Allah made us understand that our imams are in what? Daraja, different categories. But they say, no, everybody is the same in their iman. Because the Khawarij say that any person who commits a sin is a kafir. So they go to the other extreme. So these two innovations started. Also during the time of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad. The third thing that also came up was the innovation of i'tizal. One group of people went to the extremes regarding declaring people kufar, abi, khawarij. The other people went to the extremes regarding accepting people as people of iman, abi, murji'a. One day, al-Imam al-Hasan al-Basri was in Basra addressing the people. So someone came and said, oh Imam, these Khawarij are declaring everybody a kafir. If somebody commits a sin like this, is a kafir. And these other people are saying that it doesn't matter. You can drink alcohol, you can commit zina, you can do anything. Your iman is still the same. What is the correct position on this matter? One of his students, Wafil ibn Asar al-Ghazal, instead of allowing the teacher to answer, because the Imam remained silent, thinking about presenting the matter, he stood up and said, Al-Manzilatu Baina Manzilatain. That was how Mu'tazila came up. Meaning that a person who commits a sin is not a kafir and is not a Muslim, but he is going to occupy a status in between the status of being a kafir and being a mu'min. That was how the Mu'tazila started. So from amongst these people were those who deny Qadr. Some of the people came up during the later times of the companions. It were the people like Ibn Umar were alive. Anas ibn Malik was alive. The later companions. A man came up in Basra. You know, Ahl al-Iraq. Since the history of Islam, they are people of trouble. Al-Imam Malik, rahimahullah, he will always say, Ahl al-Iraq, Ahl al-Nifaq. There was not, even in their history, there was not any civilization that conquered Iraq except that it was brought down by the people of Iraq. Very deceptive. Since history. But it now includes what they refer to as Iran. The entirety of Iraq then includes what we now know as both Iraq and Iran. So a man rose up there. His name was Ma'bad al-Juhani. He started saying that he does not believe in Qadr. There is nothing like Qadr. And the companions declared him that if you don't believe in Qadr, you are not a Muslim. Because from the foundations of Iman is what? Al-Imanu bil-Qadari khayrihi wa sharrihi. If you don't believe in that, sorry, you are not a mu'min. So, because of these people who came up in the later times, was the reasons why now it was necessary for the Muslims to be explaining what was the Prophet upon, alayhi salatu wasalam, and what were the companions upon, radiallahu anhu. I hope this matter is a bit clear now. So, as-sunnatu, هي ماذا طريقة الرسول وأصحابه what the companions were upon and what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was upon. Sunnah. And it would also mean that as-sunnatu hiya al-Islam. The sunnah is Islam. And al-Islam is what? As-sunnah. As-sunnah hiya al-tawheed. Wal-tawheed huwa mada? As-sunnah. As-sunnah hiya al-Iman. Wal-Iman huwa mada? As-sunnah. So sunnah is the entirety of the life of a Muslim. Sunnah, the entirety of the life of a Muslim is sunnah. So this book will be explaining to us these matters. Because we still have remnants of those beliefs with us today. We have those beliefs, we still have remnants with us today. So it is just apt for us also to understand. And that's why for every point, when we begin to read the book, inshallah, when the Imam mentions a matter, we will mention the evidence in the Quran, we mention the evidence in the Sunnah, we mention the evidence from the statements of the companions, radiallahu anhum, and their students, those who came after them, we mention their positions too on those matters. So Al-Imam Al-Muzani has written a book titled what? Sharh Sunnah, which means what? Bayan Sunnah, explaining the Sunnah, explaining Iman, explaining Tawheed, explaining what? Aqeedah. Al-Imam Al-Muzani rahimahullah, like we mentioned, was one of the students of Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i. And Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i is well known. His name is Muhammad ibn Idris, Abu Abdullah, al-Shafi'i al-Muttalabi, rahimahullah. Imam al-Muzani, his actual name is Ismail ibn Yahya. Al-Imam al-Muzani, here, this editor just wrote Al-Imam al-Muzani, because it's well known like that. Al-Imam Al-Muzani. Like saying Al-Imam Malik. His name is Malik ibn Anas, Abu Abdullah. We know Abu Hanifa, ko? Abu Hanifa. Nu'man ibn Thabit. We know Ibn Hanbal, ko? Hanbali. People say Imam Hanbali. He is not Hanbali. Because Hanbal is the name of their grandfather. So he named one of his children Hanbal too. So we have Hanbal ibn Muhammad ibn Hanbal. So but Imam Hanbali, that people refer to as Hanbali, who has a madhab of fiqh, his name is Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Hanbal al-Shibani. Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Hanbal al-Shibani. So his name is Ahmad ibn Muhammad. Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Hanbal al-Shibani. So he is not Imam Hanbali, no. He is what? Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. That is if you ascribe him to his grandfather directly. Otherwise, it's Ahmad ibn Muhammad. And the fourth amongst them, amongst the four most famous scholars of fiqh, I say most famous because there are other mazahib apart from these four. There are up to 12. Al-Imam al-Layth ibn Sa'd al-Misri, he had a mazhab. And he was more learned than Malik. He was. The ulama of Sunnah said it, Layth ibn Sa'd. He would write letters to Al-Imam Malik and say to him, send to me your debt. Because he was the one financing Imam Malik. Imam Layth, he was rich. When his traders come with money and they load the money on the table, you know what he will say? Imam Layth. He says, Laula haza, latamanda ladina haula. If not for this thing here, those people will be joking with us. Tamandala, mindil. They will use us like anchor sheaf and throw us away. So he would write to Imam Malik, tell me your debt. for the year, annual debt. And he will send shoes to Imam Malik, 50, 20 pairs of shoes, and clothes, and turban. You just sit down there in the masjid of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, be reading hadith, be teaching Islam. We will be sending the money to you. He will add, radiallahu anhu, Layth ibn Sa'd. If you have a fatwa they ask you, you can't answer, send it to me, I'll send you the answer. Layth ibn Sa'd. He had a madhab too, rahimahullah. Likewise, al-Imam al-Tabari, who wrote Tafsir al-Tabari, he also had a madhab. Al-Imam Abu Thawr, he also had a madhab. Many, they also 12 or 13. But the most famous are those four. The first of them, al-Imam Abu Hanifa, Nu'man ibn Thabit, rahimahullah. Al-Imam Abu Hanifa is the oldest amongst them. He was born 70 years after Hijrah of the Prophet Muhammad. And he died year 150 after Hijrah. How many years did he live for? On the dot. And it was in the year that Abu Hanifa died that Al-Imam Shafi'i was born. Rahimahullah. So the oldest was Abu Hanifa in age, followed by Al-Imam Malik. Rahimahullah. Al-Imam Malik, Abu Abdullah, Imam Dar al-Hijrah, Medina, alayhi rahmatullah, was also among the great scholars of fiqh. And when Abu Hanifa died, his students came to learn from Malik, Muhammad ibn Hassan al-Shibani. They came to take hadith from Imam Malik. And al-Imam al-Shafi'i follows them in age. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i also came at age 17 to learn Muwatta from Imam Malik. He is al-Mutallabi from the same descendants with the Prophet Muhammad, al-Imam al-Shafi'i. And he grew up in Makkah. Although he was said to have been born in Ascalon in Philistine, but his mother, after the death of his father, brought him to Makkah. Go and live with your grandparents and your father's relatives. And in those days, when they want a child to be versed in Arabic, they took him into the hinterlands. For example, if you want a child to know Yoruba very well now, not Mufebe, Mufe Wafilao, not the Yoruba of Mufe Wafila. You know people Wafila now. Hey, I'm on Wafila. Abu Muhammad. Hey. Hey, I'm on the... So in those days, when they wanted the people to learn language, they take them to the hinterland. Imam Shafi'i went there. That was where he learned Quran. That was where he learned Arabic. That was where he learned grammar. He was versed in grammar. Imam Shafi'i. The ulama say, if you are looking for a statement in grammar, once you hear that Shafi'i said it, use it as evidence. Shafi'i said this is evidence. Rahimahullah, Imam Shafi'i. So, and he learned from Malik. He arrived in Medina in the evening. And he went to the students. Which book one did he read? And they said it was Muwatta. Where is it? He collected it and memorized the book before the next morning. So after Salatul Subhi, he appeared. He said at that time, he was young. He said, when I appeared before Malik the next morning after Subhi, don't forget, we told us at the beginning, the halqat of ilmiya, we are always after Subhi or after Asr. He said, when I appeared to him, he asked me, Aina kitabuka? Where is your book? He could not answer. Because Malik lahu hayba. When you are sitting there in front of Malik, if you are not careful, you will forget what you want to say. Because of respect, Malik rahimahullah, when he sits in front, you know what I mean? When you sit in front of a huge scholar, you almost don't know what to say. So he's asking him, where is your book? Say, my book is with me. Say, ah, with you? Say, yes, sir. What do you mean? Say, ah, it is with me, sir. Ma'i. So where is it? He said, I have memorized it, sir. You arrived yesterday. You memorized Muwatta Malik overnight. And ulama, they say Imam Shafi'i, because he was poor. His mother, even when he was learning Quran in Mecca, could not pay his fees. He was always staying outside the class, but he was hearing from outside the class what they are reading. And he would memorize better than those who were sitting in the class. Shafi'i rahimahullah. It was said that when he came into the market where they are selling books, initially they did not know. When he picked a book, he will look at it, he will drop the book. He will pick another book. He will look at it, he will drop the book. He is memorizing the book. So when they knew about him, Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, when he picks a book, they said, drop it. They pick a book, they said, drop it. There is what great benefit in that. And Imam Waqi' ibn al-Jarrah was one of the teachers of Ahmad bin Hanbal. It was said that later on, something happened, he felt he was forgetting something. So it was said that he went to al-Imam Waqi' ibn al-Jarrah and said to him, there is a bait in poetry that is very common, that shakawtu du'afa hifzi ila waki, or shakawtu ila waki'i du'afa hifzi farshadani ila tarkil ma'asi. We remember this? I was telling Waki that something is happening to my memorization. Farshadani ila tarkil ma'asi. So he guided me to ever avoid sin. One of the things that has blocked memories now is what? Sin. فَقَالَ إِنَّ الْعِلْمَ نُورٌ وَكِعْ said to me that knowledge is light. وَنُورُ اللَّهِ لَا يُؤْتَاهُ عَاصِي. And the light of Allah, Allah does not give it to a sinful person. If you want to be as learned as Shafi'i, avoid sin. So now, the people we deal with understand this. They now puff the generations up now with sin. You want to send an email, you first of all see one girl laughing at you. You come out from the room, one girl is there. You come out, go to school, one girl. You go to here, you sit in the vehicle, everywhere. So that the brains now come down. People are getting less intelligent. When we were in the secondary school, just recently, we used to memorize log tables. You know log tables? Logarithm. Now it is calculator. Log 10, log 1, log 2, log 3, you calculate it from your head. Sine 60, sine 45, sine 30, cos 60, all this, you have it in your mind. But now, people will be pressing calculators. In the past, when our mothers went to the market, they don't write lists. These days, women can't go to a market without writing a list. The brain, intelligence is coming down. It's one of the signs of the last hour. People will become less intelligent. Intelligence will be dropped. Nas'alullah salam salat. The main thing around that is sin. Because towards the last time, sins will be increasing. Sin, people will call sin civility, civilization. These days, we now see men who will say to men regarding their daughters, go and be having relations with her now. I can't marry her to you, but you can be defending yourself. They think that they are saying sense, because that is the common thing in the society. So they push the girl to the angry lion outside who is ready to divorce her. And when he divorced her, he throws her away again. So divorce is also rampant. May Allah protect us. And Imam Shafi was that sharp in his memory. Overnight he memorized Muwatta. And Imam Malik asked him, read to me, and he was reading Muwatta Imam Malik. So Imam Malik, Bayna Ashiyatan wa Duhaha. He was reading Muwatta. Imam Malik said, a book I compiled for 40 years? Yes, because Imam Malik spent 40 years compiling Muwatta. And that's why we have Muwatta'at. Those students who came to learn from him at the beginning, whatever they found, they learned and went away. He will review the book, change, remove, add, and then students will come, he will teach them and go away. He will come again like that. So we have Muwatta'at. That is Muwatta', versions of Muwatta'. Now we have 9 that are known. But ulama say they are up to 30. We have 9 now. 9 kinds of Muwatta'. But the riwayah that is common with us here in West Africa is the riwayah of Al-Imam Yahya ibn Yahya al-Layth. If you look at it at the beginning, because there are other riwayahs, we come back to that if Allah gives us the opportunity. So Al-Imam al-Shafi'i was the 3rd amongst them, rahimahumullah. Then the 4th one was Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. And Shafi'i was a student of Malik. Ahmad bin Hanbal was the student of who? Al-Shafi'i. Shafi'i was student of Malik. Ahmad bin Hanbal was student of who? Al-Shafi'i. So when Shafi'i left, rahimahullah, he left Malik in Medina. He went to Baghdad. So that was where he taught Ahmad bin Hanbal. And when he left Baghdad, he went to Misr. It was when he was in Misr that the people like Al-Imam al-Muzani were students of Imam al-Shafi'i. Our religion is interconnected. It's a network. So Al-Imam al-Muzani, his name is who? Ismail ibn Yahya al-Muzani. And this word, Muzani, we have exceeded 1 hour. We have a lot to discuss about Al-Imam al-Muzani. I would like us to leave it at this. We continue bi-idhnillah from here in our next class. We'll discuss who was al-Muzani rahimahullah and why did he write this book. We'll do that in our next class inshallah. We beg Allah to safeguard our lives until then. We'll continue from our next class, inshallah, from here. Bismillah. We'll go back to Al-Imam Al-Muzani. His name, what is the meaning of Al-Muzani? Why was he called Al-Muzani? And all of these, how did he learn? From who did he learn? What was his level of scholarship? What were his intellectual works? How close was he to Imam Shafi'i? Who are those amongst his teachers, apart from Shafi'i? Who are those who were the scholars that they lived together? Rahimahumullah. And what was the major thing that Al-Imam al-Muzani was known for? Rahimahumullah. We'll continue from that, bi-idhni Rabbina, in our next class. أقولوا ما أقول هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. So I'll say our last discussion, our discussion today is about what? Sharf al-Sunnah. What is the meaning of what? Sharf al-Sunnah. We ask Allah to make us understand better than we have tried to explain. Question. Verdict. Is this suitable? Doctor. No. We want questions that are connected to the discourse today. Alaykum salam. Some of them will still come back to them, inshallah.
I want to ask a question in the name. When you're referring to the Imam Nahafah's grandfather's name, if I am observing my name, can my child also answer our
name? Can we ascribe ourselves to our grandfathers or great grandfathers? It's common in our community. A man's father's name is Ishaq. And this Ishaq, his own father is Adeshina. And that Ishaq has a child called Ibrahim. That Ibrahim, in our community now, they will say it's what? Ibrahim Adeshina. Is it correct? I say yes, it is correct. The ulama say that it is correct to ascribe ourselves to our grandfather. Because the Prophet did so, alayhi salam. The hadith occurs in Sahih Bukhari. When his child Ibrahim was born, You know, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had a child whose name was what? Ibrahim. Ibrahim was born by Maria al-Qibti, Maria the Copt. You know, Egypt has Copts and non-Copts. The Copts are said to be the original owners of Egypt. The Copts, they call them Egyptian Copts. They are, in Arabic, al-Qibt, they are said to be the original owners of Egypt, original settlers. But I met a seaman at the time about 7 years ago. He was supposed to be their secretary in their World Health Quarters or so. Fortunately, he's an Egyptian. We met in Makkah, in Muzdalifah. So he told me he was an Egyptian. So he said he was not a cop, he's an Arab. He's a visitor. So I said to him that the Arabs are the original owners of Egypt. Because the grandchild of Nabi Nuh, Misraim, who established Misra, spoke Arabic, or a language similar to it. The Copts were also people who moved to Egypt. They were not the original owners of Egypt. And Egypt is known in history to have had civilizations capturing it. Any civilization, understand this matter now. Any civilization that ruled the world wanted to rule Egypt. You see now, you understand the situation there now. Whatever civilization rules the world wants to rule Egypt and Iraq. Any civilization at the time, even in history of mankind, go back to history. So when the Prophet wrote the letter to Muqawqis, who was then the king of Egypt, to accept Islam, he gave excuses, he was nice here and there, but he didn't quickly accept. He did not. He sent some gifts to the Prophet Muhammad. One of that was what? Maria al-Qibti. She sent Maria to the Prophet as a gift. I give you this lady. And then a mule. I used to remember the name of that mule. He had a name. And then some clothes the Prophet distributed amongst the companions. So this woman, the Prophet kept her in a place in the outskirts of Medina. He would go to her. So she had a child for him whose name was what? Ibrahim. So on the ninth of a day, the child Ibrahim was born. After Salatu Subhi, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam came to the masjid and said, "Wulida liya bi amsin." A child was born for me yesterday. Wasammaytuhu bismi abi Ibrahim. And I named him with the name of my father, who? Ibrahim. And we know the gap between Nabi Ibrahim and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the ulama say this is evidence that a child can ascribe himself to his great, 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 great grandfather. Amin wa antum. Alaykum as-salam. Imam Malik. Ahmad. Yes, the compiled hadith. Al-Imam Malik rahimahullah had Muwatta. A Muwatta is a book of hadith and fiqh. Muwatta is a book of what? Hadith and fiqh. Because in the past, they did not used to differentiate between hadith and fiqh. The way we now differentiate, understand this point. They did not used to differentiate between hadith and fiqh the way we do now. The two were a pair together. What the companions learned from the Prophet Muhammad was hadith and fiqh and tafsir and everything together. And it occurred like that until their own time. So Muwatta is a book of fiqh and hadith, because he will mention a matter, say, for example, when a man excretes, releases, mad or mid is correct, from himself, he will wash his male organ. Imam Malik can say that. This is fiqh. The question is, from which hadith did you bring out this fiqh, this understanding, this ruling? He will now bring the hadith under it. So you see, one book is telling us about the ruling and the evidence for that ruling. But fiqh later became something, only rulings without evidences. You'll be doing something, you don't know the proof for it. That is what people now refer to as fiqh. So when you look at our Ashmawi, our Iziya, our Al-Akhdari, you will not see evidence. This is what people now refer to as fiqh. But the evidences have been cut off. So now, a person who learns this book will think that Malik was a scholar of hadith and not a scholar of fiqh. Do you understand? Because in his own opinion, he was a scholar of hadith and not scholar of fiqh. He will think like that because in his own opinion, if it is fiqh, it will not have hadith. The book of fiqh that he learns, there is no hadith inside. They will just say, collect water. When you want to start ablution, put the container on your left. Pour the water. Why? They will not tell him. They will say, just do like that. So when he reads Muwatta, he will not see anything like that there. He will see just small expressions, but the hadith. Because they only want to tell you that what we say you should do was a practice that was established by the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. So it is difficult to disconnect them from fiqh. They were scholars of hadith and fiqh. Imam Malik had Muwatta. Imam Abu Hanifa had what is referred as to as Musnadu Abi Hanifa. Musnadu Abi Hanifa, that contained the ahadith that were reported by Al-Imam Abu Hanifa. And we had Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. He has Musnad Ahmad ibn Hanbal, that has 30,000 hadith. Musnad Ahmad ibn Hanbal, 30,000 hadith according to it. And then we have Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i. He has two books. He has Musnad al-Shafi'i, and he has the book called Al-Umm. Inside it, the Muqaddimah of Al-Umm is his very special book. We'll talk about it tomorrow, because in the next class, inshallah. Because Al-Imam al-Muzani read the book 500 times, Risala of Shafi'i. It's about 480 pages. What is it talking about? Fiqh and how to deduce evidence from hadith. If you see a hadith, how do you bring out the rulings inside? That was what Al-Shafi'i wrote in Al-Risala. So he has Musnad al-Shafi'i, he has Al-Risala, and he has Al-Umm. The Muqaddimah of Al-Umm is the what? Al-Risala. And Al-Umm occurs in 9 volumes. Al-Umm by Imam Shafi'i. So they are all, these four imams are scholars of hadith and what? Fiqh. Likewise, Al-Imam al-Bukhari. Will you be surprised that Sahih al-Bukhari is also a book of fiqh? Sahih al-Bukhari is also a book of fiqh. The one who will know it is the one who has learned how to know it. Because the scholars have always said that fiqh al-Bukhari, you will understand the fiqh in Sahih al-Bukhari in the chapter heading. What is he saying in the chapter heading is the fiqh of the hadith that he's talking about. The same thing Imam Muslim, the same thing Imam al-Tirmidhi, Muhammad ibn Isa, Abu Isa al-Tirmidhi, is a student of Bukhari for 10 years. Imam al-Tirmidhi learned from Sahih Imam Bukhari. and he followed on his thought. So Sunan al-Tirmidhi is also a book of fiqh. You will understand from the chapter heading, and then immediately after the hadith, he will be telling you that this is the position of the scholar. Imam Sufyan al-Thawri said this. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal said this regarding this issue. Imam Malik said, Abu Hanifa said, so said, this is the position of the companions. This is on the matter that he's talking about. So they combine between hadith and what? Fiqh. And after that, we had an Imam al-Nasa'i, Abu Abdurrahman. So he was also a scholar of fiqh. So all these people were scholars of fiqh and hadith together. And because Abu Hanifa had died earlier, likewise Al-Imam Malik, he died earlier. People like Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, Imam Muslim, Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, An-Nasa'i, they did not meet Malik. Ibn Bukhari, rahimahullah, did not meet Malik. Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, he did not meet Malik. He was not also chance to meet Shafi'i. But he met Ahmad bin Hanbal. And he reported the ahadith of Malik from the students of Malik. People like Abdullah ibn Wahab. People like Abdullah ibn Yusuf al-Tinnisi. They were students of Malik from whom Bukhari took the hadith of Malik. So, likewise, people like Tirmidhi, who came later than Bukhari, although he was also from those who benefited from Bukhari, actually says even is a wide issue, but the point of reference directly to your question is that all those people were both scholars of hadith and fiqh. Likewise, they are scholars of tafsir. They are scholars of Arabic language, all put together. Although they might have been known with one branch of knowledge than the other. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i was a Qari. When he came to Egypt, it was in the time of Al-Imam Sa'id ibn Uthman, that was popularly known as Warsh. Shafi'i was in Misr when Warsh was alive. And he was teaching Quran in Masjid al-Jami, Masjid Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. When the great scholars of Quran were around, Shafi'i was teaching Quran in Misra. It showed his excellence. In fact, the four people he would teach were those who want to learn Quran from him. Likewise, in Lugha, Shafi'i Najm was a moon. He was vast. So they are all rounder because they were full scholars. When I say full scholars, the scholarship was full. Al-ilmu, al-ismu, al-musamma. With a scholarship, they were scholars. So all together, they were scholars of tafsir, they were scholars of Arabic grammar, they were scholars of fiqh, they were scholars of hadith, they were scholars of think of it. And in their piety, we do not equal them in any way. Because the essence of knowledge is taqwa. Al-Imam Sufyan al-Thawri, I'll stop at that. Today we read Quran. We make tilawa of Quran. But following Quran is less amongst people today. So what we find is Quranic competition. Who took first and second? If it is not competition, you will not learn and memorize the book of Allah. Al-Imam Sufyan al-Thawri will say, rahimahullah, أمروا بتلاوة القرآن ليعملوا به فاتخذوا تلاوته عملا. The people were commanded to read the Quran so that they can follow it. But they took the reading going as action. They stopped at reading it. Do we understand? They are asked to read so that they can act, follow, copy, exemplify. But they only stopped at reading. What about the following? So, but these people read and followed, rahimahumullah. rahimahumullah. Alaykum salam. A brother was raising his hands before. Bismillah. I'll note you, inshallah. Now, can we ascribe ourselves to our grandfathers who are not Muslims? Yet, the Prophet did that one too. He says, Anna ibn Abdul Manaf. And Abdul Manaf is kafir up there. He was his great grandfather. The hadith is in Bukhari too. It was not because people are allowed to do that, what you call free reading today. I tell you, if those vendors know that free readers memorize their newspaper, they will be collecting it from them. He was doing free reading. And you know what? All these four imams, their fathers died when they were children. It was their mothers who did what you are hearing about them today. These four imams, the pillars behind them were their mother. The four of them, no one grew up to know his father. All the imams, no one grew up to know his father. The mothers did the work. You ask yourself, if you go today, will your wife take care of those children like that? What will be her priority? May Allah protect us. Now, Abu Sumaya. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered the question. Alayhi salatu wa salam. As you will. The Prophet answered your question, how you can register your opinion. Yes, I will tell you, inshallah. The Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wa salam, it says, man arada minkum an yansaha al-amir. Anyone who wants to give sincere advice to the amir, فَلْيَعْخُذْهُ بِيَدِهِ, let him grab the hand of that amir and go to the secret and tell him. If he listens, good. If he does not listen, you have done your own. The hadith is authentic. Al-Imam Ahmad reported it in his Muslim. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu, if you want to register your opinion with the ruler, go to him. The question you can ask, what if we don't have access to him? Pray for him. And tell those who have access to him, if you have access to those people. Because giving sincere advice to the ruler is ibadah. So that ibadah, if you have the ability to perform it, you perform it. If you don't have the ability to perform it, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. But what the people do in protest and demonstration is not just telling the rulers their opinion, it is compelling the leaders to follow them. Demonstrations are not just registering opinion. If it is at that, it will be mild, even though it will be disallowed. You want to advise, it's a religious matter. Advising rulers is ibadah in Islam. Going to Hajj, is it not ibadah? Abu Sumaya, zakat, is it ibadah? Should I come and collect your own? Why? Because you can't, you are not due for it. Or are you going to Hajj this year, inshallah, or Umrah tomorrow? Inshallah, maybe tomorrow. Do you understand? So every act of worship in Islam the Muslim will carry it out as it is easy for him. If it is not possible for him, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah will not ask you about it. But what we say, protests and demonstrations are not merely ways of registering opinions. They are ways of compelling authority to follow what we want. So they have what they refer to as sit-ins. We no go go unless you give up. So they strike, they sit in, they write protest letters, and they go on the streets demonstrating and shouting, we no go agree, he should go. He should go? Is that, are you registering an opinion? La. So that is not correct in Islam. Let the people know it. Let not the people go out in disobedience to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the name of Islam, they say, أفضل الجهاد قول الحق عند السلطان الجائر. You say one of the best jihad is to tell the oppressive leader the truth. I say okay, finish it. He says عند when you are with him. قول الحق for you to say the truth in the sultan when you are in his front. You want to advise him, say the truth. That is what that hadith is saying. It does not say go to the street and start shouting. When Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam took the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Mi'raj, where did he stop? In the Sidratil Muntaha, at Sidratil Muntaha. So Qawlul Haq in the Imam means when you are in front of the Imam. The best you can do is write him a letter with respect. Because nobody is a ruler. Even if it's a bad ruler, except that it is Allah that gave him rulership. As bad as he is, Allah has placed him there. Whether to use him to punish people or to use him to show mercy to people. Do we know that? One of the canes, people say that, one of the canes with which the people are caned for their punishment, for their sins, is Allah give them a ruler who will deal with them. Is that one of us? If we are good, one of us good, we'll be made the ruler of all. People don't want to be good, but they want to have good ruler. There is nothing people accuse those at the top, my oga at the top. There is nothing people accuse them of today they don't do in their offices. Did you hear what I said? There is nothing. You accuse people, oga at the top, that they are doing, that the civil servants, permit me to say that, are also doing it in their offices. It is when you relate with them officially, you know that. How many files do they hide? How many times do they go out of office without doing any work? They say the man traveled to Brazil. Where have you gone to? You left your office too. If you say he traveled to Brazil, he is not in office, you went out. It is the stage that these things occur that are different. It is still the same abdication of job. If you are good, Allah will give you good leader. The worst thing, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, the worst people are those who have bad leaders who curse them, they curse the leader. Worst people, they have a bad leader, they curse him, you know, go better for him, you know, go do this, you know, go, God go punish him, your pikin no go die well. He too, when he's in his praying place, if he said, and I want to remove me, you know, go better for him, and my children no go die well. So they curse themselves. The people curse the leader, and the leaders curse them. If the leader is not doing well, does it not behove us to pray for him? Because when you pray for him and his affairs become rectified, it will touch everybody. Is it not so? And Imam Fudayl ibn Iyad is amongst the Atba' al-Tabi'in. He said, if I have one dua that I have been assured, if I make, Allah will accept. I will make that dua for the leader. I will not make it for myself. If I make it for the leader, I will benefit. My father will benefit. My brother will benefit. Everybody will benefit. Do we pray for the leader? On the days of Juma, on the Manavir, do imams pray for the leader? Do they pray for them? For Allah to rectify them? For Allah to guide them? For Allah to give them good advice? Do they pray for the leader? It is deen It is part of our religion to pray for leaders. Not sittings. Not sittings. Our religion is not teach us that one. Islam did not say rise up when they are not doing well. The last question will accommodate, inshallah. Alaykum salam. Now, is this correct to say what? Abu Umama al-Bahili. Is it what? Yes, not him alone. There are scholars who have that opinion. But the safest thing to say is that not to give a takfir bil jumla. You open up a big bath on the issues on the mas'ala of takfir. At takfir bil jumla, saying the entirety of the people are kuffar, is not correct in Islam. You make that regarding individuals. Because, yes, they were all khawarij, but not all of them have the same hand in the same level. They have involvement in grading levels. So, and they have beliefs in grading levels. Some of them, they are just people, when people speak in the mosque, they say, inshallah, they say, inshallah. He didn't hear anything, no. He's just shouting, inshallah, inshallah, mashallah. He didn't hear. This one, you can't say, is a kafir. He doesn't know anything. So we will not make a takfir bil jumla. The takfir regarding these matters are made one after the other. But I'm quite aware that some of the scholars too do not hold them in entirety as kufar. These matters are very extensive matters. We hope some of them will be discussing them as we read the book. This is our deen now. It's not Nawakid al-Islam. If you do this, you go out of Islam. Now the individual is a Muslim. What does he need to know and do as a Muslim the way Allah wants him to be a Muslim? That is our discourse in Sharh Sunnah, inshallah. We'll continue from here in our next class. قُلُّ مَا أَقُلْ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكِ سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك امين.